Well, life in this world sometimes does feel like a blur. We've been in a study of the letter of 1 John, and we have found in this letter that there's a great deal for us to know. There is a great deal for which we need to live and stand on, and that helps us to stay focused in a world that is trying to blur our understanding and our relationship with God. John concludes this letter with some important words for living in a blurry world. He has taken us from experiencing Christian fellowship, maintaining Christian fellowship, loving one another, to living in fellowship together. And this living that he has written about to us in this letter is all in focus on Christ Jesus, and it's not blurred by the world. Not to deny that the world is trying to blur the truth of Jesus Christ. And as I was preparing this message, the phrase "straighten up and fly right" kept coming to my mind. Okay? Particularly when I was looking at the last words of John in this letter. And so let's pray and consider the Word of God, the truth to us, and focus in on that truth today. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come and we thank you that you are the truth that has set us free and that we can trust you. And for this letter, Lord, where we have learned to live in fellowship, to love one another, to follow the true gospel, and to identify that which is not. God, we ask that you would be the teacher here, that Holy Spirit, you would open our hearts and our minds to the truth of God's word to us today. And we pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen. 1 John chapter 5, we are at verses 16 through 21. It'll be right up here on the screen. You can follow there. Or if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to follow along there, but to listen for God's word to you here this morning. Starting verse 16. If you see a fellow believer sinning in a way that does not lead to death, you should pray, and God will give that person life. But there is a sin that leads to death, and I'm not saying you should pray for those who commit it. All wicked actions are sin, but not every sin leads to death. We know that God's children do not make a practice of sinning, for God's Son holds them securely, and the evil one cannot touch them. We know that we are children of God, and that the world around us is under the control of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come, and he has given us understanding so that we can know the true God. And now we live in fellowship with the true God because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the only true God, and he is eternal life. Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts. Now, John has instructed us through this letter to live knowing our identity in Jesus Christ. And he wraps up this letter with some rather strong words. And as I mentioned earlier, as I was contemplating those words, the phrase "straighten up and fly right" kept coming into my mind. And I thought, well, you know, that's a good name for a sermon. And I thought, but I better investigate. I better understand what those words mean and where they came from. So, straighten up and fly right, I assumed, had something to do with flying. Okay? And it sort of does. Okay? Sort of does have a connection there, but there's quite a different understanding than I expected when I did a little research on those phrases. That phrase, straighten up and fly right. Straighten Up and Fly Right was the title of a song written in 1943. Okay? I'm not going to ask if you were around. It was written by Nat King Cole and Irving Mills. I'm not even going to ask if you remember them. Okay? But the song reached the number one position in America on Hit Parade for 10 weeks. And the song was based on a folktale. A folktale that Cole's father had preached about the week before he wrote the song. Okay? And you can listen to it on YouTube and listen to the song, and you'll understand a little more when I get into that. My thought that it had something to do with flying, like with airplanes, was as a result is that I found out that the song was used on a couple of movies about airplanes. Okay? And that was the connection I made. But in the tale of Straighten Up and Fly Right, the tale told by Cole's father when he preached a message, it had sort of a connection to flying. In that tale, there was a buzzard. Okay? A bird. The connection to flying, okay? One of those big black birds, okay? A big buzzard. And in this tale, that buzzard was an evil bird. He would take other animals for flights. In this tale, he would fly up to an animal and he'd say, "Hey, how would you like to go flying?" And he would take them up and he would fly very high. And then whenever the buzzard got hungry, he would dive and let them hit the ground, and he would then dine on them. Ah, rather evil buzzard, okay? But there happened to be in this tale the story of a monkey that watched this all happen. And he watched this buzzard time and time again take animals up, dive, and dine on them, okay? And finally, one day, the buzzard came to the monkey and said, "Would you like to go for a flight?" Well, our logic would say that the monkey was smart enough to say no, but the monkey said, "I'll go." But as he flew on the back of the buzzard, the monkey took his tail and wrapped it around the neck of the buzzard. And as the buzzard began to dive, the monkey squeezed a little tighter on the neck, and to the point that the buzzard almost passed out. And the monkey said, "Straighten up and fly right." I found it interesting. We have all these phrases, and that was one. But it's an interesting correlation, I believe, also to the concluding words that John had in this letter, especially when you consider the definition, association with the phrase "straighten up and fly right" and the words of John in the last of this letter. If you want to keep out of trouble, you better straighten up and fly right. In the verses for today, John is teaching us in essentially, I've been teaching you in his letter, he said, okay, know the truth, know the falsehood, follow the truth, know the Savior, believe in the Savior, stand on the truth, stand on the truth of God's word, straighten up now and fly right, is essentially what he's saying to us, particularly when it comes to a relationship to sin. So let's look again at verse 16 that we read earlier. If you see a fellow believer sinning in a way that does not lead to death, you should pray, and God will give that person life. But there is a sin that leads to death, and I'm not saying you should pray for those who commit it. So, what is a sin that leads to death? He's not saying don't pray for them, okay? See that clearly, all right? In the latter portion of he's saying don't pray for them. He's not saying that. He said, I'm not saying you should pray for them, okay? They've made up their mind, they're going in their way. He's not saying don't pray for them, okay? But he's saying, Yeah, you might not. You might observe the Holy Spirit might say, well, that's a lost cause. Okay? Now, part of what we need to understand about that verse is that at the time that John was writing this letter, there was a group of people called Gnostics. They did not believe in the divinity of Christ. Okay? They believed in Jesus, but they did not believe in Jesus Christ. They did not believe that he was the true Son of God. They did not believe in the divine. And so part of what we need to understand as we consider that verse is what kind of people John was writing to when he made that statement. Now, the sin that leads to death is a sin that takes us away from the truth of our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Sins that do not lead to death are sins that we have an option. We can do two things. We can repent and we can be restored. We can repent and we can be restored. You repent through the grace of Jesus Christ. You recognize the sin that's in your life or the sin that's going on in someone else's life, and you recognize that as being against God's will. You recognize that as being against the truth of God's word to you, and you repent. You change your heart. You say, man, I'm not going to go there. That's not right. My heart won't let me. That's wrong. I know it. I'm not going to have peace until I repent of that. And when we do, and when we confess our sin to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we are forgiven. Okay? We are restored in our relationship with God. This is kind of a complex thing to understand when we look at the Scripture. Make no doubt that if you believe and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are saved. Okay? You don't have to worry about that. Right? That's not what this is saying. We have to understand the kind of people, the Gnostics, that John was writing to. And we also need to understand, if you're still worried about that, the difference between spiritual death and physical death. Okay? A couple of differences. But I'm going to move us along. There is a way in our lives to straighten up and fly right. God has given us that way in his word, the truth of God's word. John has written about that through Jesus Christ. When sin is about to dash us on the earth and consume us in its sin, it is at that moment that we have the grace of Almighty God, praise God, that through Christ Jesus we can repent and we can be restored. Isn't that good? Can I get an amen? You need to know that. You need to be confident in that. That is a strong word in John's writing here. Okay, let's look at verses 18 through 20. I want to read that again because, again, these are important words that John is writing to us. We know that we are children of God and that the world around us is under the control of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and he has given us understanding so that we can know the true God. And now we live in fellowship with the true God because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the only true God and he is eternal life. Pretty strong words that John is wrapping up this letter with. Notice that how John emphasizes that God is the true God. There were lots of gods, okay, supposedly out there. Worldly gods. And he says, this God that we believe in, Jesus Christ, is the one true God. And we live in fellowship with the true God because of Jesus Christ. He is the only true God. And Jesus is the only true God. You want to have fellowship and be in a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ because he's the only true God. You want to have fellowship with someone that's not the true God? You want to have fellowship and put all your trust in something that is not true? John tells us, God's word tells us, the truth is inspired by the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ is the only true God. Now let's tie that back to the verse 17 and sin. And you want to be forgiven of sin because you are out of fellowship with Jesus when you are sinning. So God provides a way, Jesus Christ. If you recognize that sin that's going on, or what it is, or what's happening in your life, whatever it is, and you repent of that sin, then you can be restored to fellowship with God. Strong words. The one true God. And that's so important, because to have fellowship with Jesus is to have eternal life. Not just the life we have on this earth. It's eternal life that we are putting our trust in as we put our trust in Jesus Christ. The Gospel of John, okay, the Gospel, not the letter, not 1 John, but the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 4 through and 5, speak to us of who this Jesus Christ is as the light of the world. Look at verse 4 and 5, John chapter 1. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. So sin cannot overcome light, the light of Christ specifically. When we obey the truth of God's word, we are victorious for eternity, not just temporarily. Now, verse 21. Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts. Straighten up, fly right. The last words of John in this letter are about keeping away from anything that might take God's place in your heart. Because anything that would take God's place in your heart, that's the crux of the whole of the letter of 1 John, is sin. It has to be our relationship with Him. And here, as I said, is the center of this letter. He's written about it throughout the whole letter. Stay away from sin. Stay close to the truth. Stay away from sin. Stay close to the truth. The heart teaching of the letter is stay away from anything that takes you away from Jesus Christ. And believe me, brothers and sisters, there's a whole lot in this world today trying to take you away from the truth of who Jesus Christ is. Be it ever so subtle, be it ever so blatant, there is lots and lots and lots trying to take us away from the true God through our relationship with Jesus Christ. Paul writes to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now this is Paul, not John. Paul writes here, chapter 15, verses 1 through 3. Let me now remind you, and he uses, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it. It is this good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you. Unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. I passed on to you what was most important, and what has also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins just as the Scriptures said. God's word, the truth. God's word to us is straighten up and fly right. Hold tightly to the word of truth, to the salvation that we have, the true God, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, you tell us in your word to stay away from that which would lead us to death, and to hold tightly to that which would bring us life.